We've a little series at the minute called Come Alive. A couple of Sundays ago, we looked at Come Alive to God's People. Then last Sunday, we looked at Come Alive to God's Presence. And this morning, we're going to be looking at Come Alive to God's Resurrection Power. The early church was facing pressure from the authorities. It had been a matter of days since the people had seen Jesus alive. The disciples had seen him ascend to God. And Peter and John, at the beginning of chapter 4, a little bit of chapter 3 of Acts, they had just healed a man who was born lame. They'd been preaching and proclaiming that Jesus was alive, that the resurrection was real. And the religious authorities did not like this at all. And the Roman authorities weren't too pleased either. And so initially they put Peter and John in prison, and they commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. We saw that in Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. So what would they do? Would they stop preaching? Would they stop praying? Would they stop attempting to heal people? Move forward 2,000 plus years to Easter 2022. We find the church in the Western world is living in interesting days. While we do not experience the same persecutions that some of our brothers and sisters do in other parts of the world, like in India or Pakistan or Syria or Egypt or China, we are living in days where there is a subtle undermining of our Christian faith, a disowning and even a discouragement of people to share their faith. Occasionally we hear cases in the media of men or women being prohibited from wearing simple things like crosses at work, anything that would identify them as Christian. Many people increasingly, especially in the UK mainland, will have little or no idea what the Easter story is about. Easter for them is just a holiday. It's just a chance for a few days off work. In some cases, we're into the second or even the third generation of people who have never even been in a church, or perhaps if they have been, it's for a funeral. They've never opened a Bible, and the name Jesus Christ is just a swear word. Added to this sidelining of Christian faith and the growing ignorance of the Christian story, we see the seeming powerlessness of the church. In fact, we could go further and say that almost on a weekly basis, we are hearing of church scandals or of individual Christians who are struggling with the lack of purity or holiness and falling into sin. And so when we read Acts chapter 4, it seems like a world away from our world here today, and certainly from the Christian world. I love it in Acts 4:4, where it says, "Many who heard the message believed, and the number who in the church grew to about 5,000. I wonder, am I alone as I read this in being frustrated at the lack of conversions, the lack of power, the lack of love and distinctive witness of the church of Jesus Christ? So on this Easter 2022, perhaps what we need as the church is to consider how we can come alive again to this resurrection power, the resurrection power that we read of in Acts chapter 4. I admit perhaps I have become too complacent. My expectations have lowered. I and perhaps we have become too comfortable with the status quo, living with what one Christian author has called a level of acceptable sin. And all the time the power is leaking out from the church, and God is not moving amongst us as he once did. How can we see a renewal, a coming alive to this resurrection power of God? Briefly, can I share with you three things about the early church in these verses 23 to 31, which might encourage us to come alive again to God's power. First of all, here we see in verse 23 a prayerful unity. a prayerful unity. Peter and John, when they were released from prison, it says in verse 23, they went back to their own people, and when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. They went back to their own people. Who are their own people? Well, their own people are the church, the fellow disciples, those hundreds who had come to faith in recent days. When the chips are down, you know who your own people are. In other words, they went to the church. When the pressure builds against Christianity, you need support, you need strength, you need encouragement, you need your brothers and sisters around you. Now, you can get your support, obviously, from your own physical blood relations and family, but if they themselves do not know Jesus Christ, you need the church. You need the church around you as well. There have been many books and films on a secular level which speak of the comradeship of arms, Saving Private Ryan, Brothers in Arms, and so on. Because crisis and war drives you together in sacrifice and service and fellowship. And we, of course, are in a spiritual war that is raging all around us. We are often surrounded by spiritual casualties, but we seem to forget this. People are falling right, left, and center, and we don't seem to care. Ajith Fernando comments in his commentary, "The individualism of contemporary society has caused us to lower our standards of fellowship, and that leaves us ill-equipped for crisis." Someone else has written, "We need in these times to preference God's people, to commit to God's people, to create deep community across social and cultural boundaries in our churches." In these early exciting days of the church, there was a unity, a togetherness, a fellowship, a support, a bonding. And this was further strengthened, this unity was strengthened in prayer. It says they raised their voices together in prayer. John Piper once wrote this, that when you're at war, prayer is the walkie-talkie to God. He says this, "So I do not tire of saying to our church, the number one reason why prayer malfunctions in the hands of believers is that they try to turn a wartime walkie-talkie into a domestic intercom. Until you believe that life is war, you cannot know what prayer is for. Prayer is for the accomplishment of a wartime mission. It's as though the field commander Jesus called in the troops, gave them a crucial mission. Go, make disciples, and bear fruit. Handed each of them a personal transmitter coded to the frequency of the general's headquarters and said, comrades, the general mission has a mission for you. He wants to see it accomplished. And to that end, he has authorized me to give each of you personal access to God through these transmitters. If you stay true to his mission and seek his victory first, he will always be as close as your transmitter to give tactical advice, to send in air cover when you need it. But what have we done? Millions of Christians, they have stopped believing that we're in a war. There's no urgency, no watching, no vigilance, no strategic planning. Just easy, comfort, peacetime, and prosperity. How will we see something of the resurrection power of God today in our lives in 2022? Well, the early church saw it through prayerful unity. By seeing the importance of being present to one another, to be bound together in fellowship, and together praying. It's wonderful to see those folks in the church who are committed to attending the corporate prayer meetings of our church every week. But it would be even more wonderful if some folks here who aren't regularly at those prayer meetings would commit and say, you know, I want to see God's resurrection power. I want to commit to one of those three or four prayer meetings that are going on in the church. Maybe I can't be there every week. But maybe can I put it on your radar for the future? That if we long to see God moving in resurrection power in our church and in our community, in our town, in our nation, that we follow the example here of committing to our own people, and to committing to prayer? How will we see and come alive to God's resurrection power? Through a prayerful unity. And then secondly, as we see in this passage, the second key, I believe, is a bold witness. Peter and John had been commanded in verse 18 not to speak and not to teach in the name of Jesus. And what was the response to this? Well, their response was, well, we believe God has told us to do this, so we can't do anything else. And in verse 29, it says, "Now, Lord, consider their threats." This is part of the prayer. "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." You see, when you believe that you have the greatest and best news of the kingdom for this world, then we need, as it says in Peter, to be able to give the reason for the hope that we have. It is not easy to stand for the Christian faith today. It is seen as irrelevant. It is seen as eccentric. It is seen as outdated morality. The climate has changed from Christianity being tolerated to now being seen as the enemy of modern people, perhaps even as narrow-minded bigotry. Stephen McAlpine has written a super little book, and I would recommend it to you, called Being the Bad Guys. In effect, he says, the church has become the bad guy. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John and the church were the bad guys in the eyes of the Roman authorities and in the eyes of the religious leadership. So what did the church do? Well, as we've seen, they prayed. But they didn't go into hiding. They didn't go silent. No, they prayed, "Lord, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." So may we pray that of ourselves, that the Lord will give us a fresh boldness to share our faith with our work colleagues, to invite them to church, or if we do an Alpha course or something like that, even to Cafe Explore, say, "With this meeting on a Wednesday evening, it's exploring the basics of Christianity. Would you like to come?" Now, that's not easy. And so if we commit to praying for a boldness in our witness, I believe God will answer that. He will give us that boldness, he'll give us the opportunities, and we will share and invite. As we step out of our comfort zones, I am convinced we will see more people finding faith. We need to be convinced, and I hope we are. We've certainly sung it well enough today, convinced in the power of the cross, that the Son of Man was lifted up on the cross on Friday evening, Good Friday evening. We saw that Jesus said, I need to be lifted up, that all will be drawn to myself. We live in a cultural moment. We live in an age and at a time when everyone is looking for salvation within. They're trying to find their true selves, and they're looking within. But the Bible says, no, that is fundamentally wrong, because when you look within, your heart is deceived. It's got sin in here. No, you need to look up. You need to look at Jesus. But our cultural moment is convinced that you will find salvation within. You need to be true to yourself. We say, no, look up. Jesus was lifted up. We need to look at Jesus. He is the one. And if we are convinced of that as the truth today, difficult as it is to share, we must keep sharing it, because it is the word of truth and it is the word of life. And it's difficult sharing that with work colleagues. It's difficult sharing it with friends. It's difficult sharing it with your family. I know this. But this is what the early church prayed for. And they saw thousands being added to the church daily. So we need to see prayerful unity. We need to pray for bold witness. And then thirdly and finally, what we see here in Acts 4 is that there was a ministry of healing and signs. The church prayed this, "Lord, stretch out your hand to heal and to perform miraculous signs and wonders." Now, High Kirk is a church that prays. We pray often for healing. Every week, that super prayer letter goes out, and there's many of the prayers are asking for healing, and many folks have been healed, and it's good to see the thanksgiving also that's coming, and the updates, and the sharing, and the improvement, and so on. And so we keep praying, and we pray for our doctors, we pray for our surgeons, we pray for our hospitals. They're doing a great work, and God heals through those means. But occasionally I hear stories of God healing apart from those means. Just as we're hearing in Acts and many of the Gospels, where God seems to move instantaneously, miraculously, without medicines or surgeons or surgery, to heal powerfully. And recently I was hearing some of these stories, and occasionally I hear stories from healing on the streets. People have been healed, and they have been healed instantaneously, and they've come back the next week to say, "I've been healed." Those are wonderful stories. Those are really encouraging stories. But they're very few. And I would love to hear more of them. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, it says, "If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you." We've just been singing that this is a house of miracles, and I believe it is a house of miracles because God's Spirit is here. He lives within each one of us. And in a gathering such as this, the power of the Holy Spirit is immense. In Romans 15, Paul says, "I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God. I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ." In 1 Corinthians 2 and 4, he says, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." And again, I am convinced that if we have an expectation, if we raise our faith in the God, we sing songs, you know, the same Spirit that was there in the New Testament is the same Spirit that lives in us. And to pray with expectancy, to pray with faith that God would do miraculous things amongst us, that we would see healings, even outside of surgeries and so on. How wonderful that would be. Not that we get the glory, not that Highkirk gets the glory, but that God gets the glory. And that as people see that, they're wakened up. They say, "What is this power? Who is doing this?" We say, "It's God who's doing this. He's the same God today. It's the same Jesus today. It's the same Spirit today." And I know from my own heart, sometimes that involves me going out of my comfort zone and maybe praying for people and praying bold prayers and big prayers that I'm almost scared to pray. But if we don't do it, we won't see God move. So I long to see this. I long to see it. Because I think it will be us coming alive to this same resurrection power. We have grown complacent. We have grown, our expectation level has fallen. We worship the God who is the God of all power. And so I wonder, will you join with me as we pray for this, as we raise our level of expectation, as we pray bold prayers? Maybe at the end of services, people will come up and say, "Oh, God, I've got arthritis, or I've got this cancer, and to come and to be prayed with and to be prayed for." And I know God doesn't answer all our prayers in healing here. I know that. But sometimes he does. There was one of the saints long, long ago who said, "I've discovered something. The more I pray, the more coincidences happen. The more we pray for healing, I believe, the more we will see healings. We will see signs and wonders." Now, if you don't want that, fine. But I do. Would you love to see that? People being healed because they've been prayed with, and God has moved mightily. Come alive to the resurrection power. Prayerful unity, bold witness, a ministry of healing and signs and wonders. Shall we stand with me as I pray? Let's pray. Father, as we read the Gospels, as we read Acts, we recognize, we sing it, we say it, that you are the same God, the God of power. Your spirit is the same spirit. This is a house of miracles. And so I pray for my brothers and sisters here. I pray for a prayerful unity that we will commit to our own people, will commit to one another, and that will involve sacrifice. Maybe in the weeks that are coming, we'll commit to attending a corporate prayer meeting for the first time. And that's a kind of an action point. Lord, I want to come. I want to make an effort to pray with God's people because I'm hungry and thirsty for your power. Lord, I pray, and we all pray for a boldness that you'll enable us to share with love the gospel of Jesus Christ with those who are around us, quietly, lovingly, but boldly. And even today, Lord, as we stand here, I pray for those who may need healing even today, that your power would move in their hearts and their lives, that you would bring healing, we would see wonderful things, for this is a house of miracles. Come, Holy Spirit, and move amongst us in your power. And then we'll go and tell wonderful stories of what God is doing. Not what we're doing, but what God is doing. For your glory and for our good, we pray. Amen.